Good morning, Mike Broomhead.
Good morning, Jamie. Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday. Tuesday's kind of a weird day.
It is. It is.
Because you don't feel anxious for the weekend, and you're thinking, I still have four more days ahead.
But it's not Monday.
But it isn't Monday. See, now that's the bright side.
That is the bright side. You know me, I'm a glass half full person.
I love that.
Thanks, Jamie. Good morning, everyone. Speaking of glass half full, so much to get to today. We are going to talk what's happening at Columbia University and compare it to ASU once again. But we're going to talk about some of the big issues we keep talking about. Stagflation is a word many of you may not have heard. It's been around for a long time. It is a combination of very slow growth, but high inflation. And stagflation is a big concern. How do we dig ourselves out of it? And one of the things, I compile a bunch of stories every morning on every topic that we're going to do. And speaking of this one of them talks about the national debt and how we're able to do this. I'll go back. I've started off with it. Let's start off with the Reaganism. We don't have high inflation because the people are living too well. We have high inflation because the government is living too well. And if you look at the plans of what's out there, it's almost as if they are completely tone deaf as to what the American people are enduring. Raising taxes. They want to raise taxes on wealthy people. I'm gonna get to this first because this is where it is very bothersome to me. The Biden administration analysis of its revenue proposals for fiscal year 2025 argues targeted tax hikes that disproportionately affect white people would ease racial wealth inequality. So when we talk about the redistribution of wealth, it's not the government's job. It's not what our I think the government's job ever was, but this is a punitive tax. It's not because first of all, I'm not mega wealthy, but I'm also, it's not because this is about white people. It's we're Americans. This should be about America. The idea of segregating us, all of dividing us into groups. I don't care which political party does it or why it's being done. But it's always rich versus poor, white versus black, gay versus straight, man versus woman. It is always some kind of keeping us against each other instead of us collectively having a look at what's happening and saying this is wrong. Republican Democrat is always going to be the battle. And I know there's been this uprising of independent voters because they're tired of the way the political parties fight. And I don't blame you. I walked away from party politics a very, very, very long time ago because not because I don't believe in the principles, nor is it because I don't think that the Republican principles are what I believe in. I absolutely do. Listen to the show. I don't run or hide from what you like or dislike about my political leanings. I want to throw them all on the table and say when I'm wrong, I'm wrong. When I'm right, I'm right. But here's my bias. Here's what I see. Here's why I see it. I think it's the best way to have a conversation. Admit where your point of view is coming from. So I'm not running from my political leanings, but the problem is you get inside these little tiny rooms of people that want everybody to agree with them and everybody is power hungry and everybody wants to, I shouldn't say everybody. People want to be big fish in little ponds and it ends up being that kind of a clique all the time. And then there's always the litmus test of are you Republican enough? Are you Democrat enough? Are you liberal enough? Are you woke enough? Both parties suffer it. And if you look at what voters are doing, they are leaving both parties. They are not leaving their ideology. They are not leaving their common sense. They are leaving their loyalty behind to a party. There is a thing that comes up in an election cycle. It always does. And it's called a slate. I've talked about this before. Most of you know that it's out there. And it's where if you're in a district, we call them LDs here, legislative districts, and you go to an LD meeting, they will at the LD meeting at some point in an election cycle come out with a slate. And it tells everybody in the district, this is the way you should vote. These are the candidates that we are saying are best aligned with our ideologies. It's not nefarious, but it is saying if you're going to vote for this person, these are the other people that are like-minded you should vote for as well. It's a matter of convenience for many voters who are not on top of issues. People have walked away from that ideology. They are no longer going to say, just because you put that R next to your name, you don't automatically get my vote. Just because you have that D next to your name doesn't mean you automatically get my vote. Those independent-minded people, independent in their thinking, not necessarily in their ideology, they are the ones that are making the decisions on elections, but they're the ones that are also being left out. They are the ones still pitting, it is still pitting us against them. Yesterday, I talked about the abortion issue. And I said, I am unapologetically pro-life, but I did not do a very good job of defending the pro-life point of view. I still believe we're arguing about when life begins. There is even a reasonable conversation to be had there. If you talk to someone who is pro-choice, you look at the pro-choice referendum that's going to be on the ballot. I think it goes too far, like the organization says it does. But even they recognize that there's a point in the pregnancy where it's viable. They use the phrase viability. And that phrase means that there's a point in the pregnancy where you can no longer terminate it, with the exception of the life of the mother. But they use the word viability, recognizing at some point in the womb, it's a human life and entitled to protection. It's no longer about the mother's body. Now there are two bodies to be considered here. So I say that because even in that conversation, instead of it being, I want laws to control women and I'm going to tell a woman what to do with her body, the conversation now becomes about the life inside her body. That's what we've always argued about. There's even reasonable conversations there. When you look at what's happening now with the government, the president of the United States and people that think like him believe that raising taxes on the wealthy does good for the nation, and it doesn't. It doesn't improve the lives of the poor, and it never has. There are programs out there and safety net programs that I would say to you that are much, much better suited to be handled at the local level. It's easier to find and fight the fraud at a local level. It's easier to fight the corruption and misuse and all of those other things from the people that implement the program. When you're talking billions and even trillions of dollars, it is better to be divided up locally. We are much better at it in Arizona, and then each individual community of understanding the needs of hungry people, unhoused people. So all of these things, it should be all of us with a critical eye of the people that have our money. And this issue of trying to make it about white versus black, rich versus poor, wage disparity, income disparity, wealth disparity, it is more of the problem. I'm not saying it's intentional. I'm not saying they're intentionally trying to ruin the country. But look at where we're going. The United States Treasury takes in more money all the time. They set records, or at least they were for a very long time setting records, and yet the deficits were still higher. We don't have an income problem. We have a spending problem. So now, high inflation, we are watching job growth drop. We are watching the economy growth drop to 1.6%, and inflation is remaining very high. And now people that are concerned are using that word stagflation again, that we could see persistent high inflation and slowing growth in the economy, meaning that we are not solving the problem of inflation. And if you look at what the governments are doing, they are still growing by leaps and bounds. They are still telling the American people, we're going to grow by tens of thousands of people in the IRS. We're going to grow by tens of thousands in other sectors of the government. We're going to continue to hire and grow and expand the government. You couldn't do it in your personal life. You couldn't do it in your business. And if you did, you would lose your business. You would end up being bankrupt. You would have your home foreclosed on. All of these things would happen to you, and there's no repercussions. And here's the other thing. The government has been printing money and printing money and printing money. If they can just print money to pay their bills, why are they going to raise taxes? Just print more money. Well, that's not a solution. That causes inflation. Well, that's what you've been doing for years now. We all understand that in the history of the United States economy, we are going to look at the time of COVID as a time to learn from mistakes and figure out a better way to do things. But we also are going to say there's a caveat here of what the United States government did in an attempt to keep the economy afloat, whether it turns out to be the right thing to do or the wrong thing to do, the way the Trump administration handled it or the Biden administration handled it. We're going to look at this and say we're trying to figure out what the best way to survive is through this pandemic. We made a lot of mistakes. We know the lockdowns were a mistake. So a lot of the monetary things we did may have been a mistake. They might have been the right thing to do, but we did them. So now how do we get out of it? Just like anybody else that's made a financial mistake or it was a decision that had to be made, whatever it is. But stagflation, why it's caused, they're coming back with a vengeance. There's a new bank failure that's happening, and people are warning about it. And here is a New York Times story that says inflation is stubborn as the federal budget deficit making it worse. Economists are divided whether the growing amount of federal borrowing is fueling demand and driving up prices. printing and borrowing money is what causes inflation. They can blame anybody else they want to, but until we get our fiscal house in order, we are going to continue to see huge, huge problems. The other thing, and I talked about this earlier when I was kind of doing the intro and the crossover with Jim this morning with from Arizona's Morning News, Sharp. Harsh deportation tools are just fine with many Americans is a Washington Post headline. Americans are souring on the topic of immigration. And it's because of a multitude of reasons, but the border security issue that we are suffering is having Americans sour on the topic of immigration. So we're going to talk about this, why they see it this way, and what might be a solution so that we can get back on track and have an immigration system we can be proud of. We'll talk about all of that coming up next.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show, KTAR News, 92.3 FM, and the KTAR News app.
All right, your last chance to win tickets to see the Rolling Stones at State Farm Stadium happens on May 7th. Just head over to the contest page at KTAR.com for complete details and your opportunity to win. So here's the headline from the Washington Post that got me thinking this morning. Harsh deportation tools are just fine with many Americans. For months, former President Donald Trump and his allies have previewed a plan for mass deportations of millions of undocumented immigrants. And through it all, the Biden campaign has increasingly sought to elevate their comments, apparently believing that the plan is at odds with the American people and voters. That's the first paragraph. There, that goes on to talk about many Americans. A February CNN poll tested a number of Trump proposals that might seem extreme or unpopular. The plan to detain and deport millions of undocumented immigrants was broached alongside Trump jailing his political opponents, pardoning himself, and the January 6th defendants. But unlike the other proposals, deportation earned the support of nearly half of Americans, 48%. So look, if we look at immigration, the Nogales area rancher accused of shooting a migrant will not face retrial. I believe it was 7 out of 8 were not guilty votes. There was one that was holding out for a guilty verdict, which is why they got a hung jury. But prosecutors looking at that. And here's the reason why this plays a role in this. First of all, there's no evidence that this rancher shot anyone. They said they shot into the air. They never found a bullet that was connected to that gun. But I also think there's a lot of empathy in people with what people are facing. No one wants to see someone, an unarmed person, get shot. That's not what this is about. Americans' attitudes across the country in the last, especially in the last 2 years, have changed dramatically. Americans are benevolent. I believe in us. I believe that the American people, we understand in our hearts, I think most of us understand that we are blessed to be born in this country. At least I am. I've had the privilege of traveling to some amazing places. I've been to France. I've been to Belgium and Luxembourg. On the anniversary of D-Day, I was in Normandy. I've been to Italy, which is has been so far my favorite place to visit that I've been outside of the country. But I love home. I love America. And when it comes to our economy and when it comes to the American dream and the entrepreneurial spirit, I think we're unrivaled. And I think most Americans in our hearts understand that. And when we share what we've been given, when we accept immigrants, and we should always be a nation of immigrants, and we hear the great stories of immigrants and what they've accomplished in this nation, and within one generation living the American dream, coming from abject poverty and communism and socialism, and coming to this country and flourishing and becoming not just wealthy, and many of them do become wealthy, but living a life that they've chosen. And how they embrace that, and they embrace the American dream. We are losing those stories, and they exist. They are still out there. There are still so many people that are living the American dream in one generation, but we're not talking about those anymore. What we're talking about now is survival and people coming across the border illegally. They know they're doing it illegally. We know they're doing it illegally, and nothing is changing. And people are frustrated. When you have millions and millions of people coming here, when there's video of people storming the border and overrunning the National Guard and people that are trying to protect the border, the American people get upset because as kind and as good as we are, we don't want that kindness to be mistaken for weakness, and that we understand there has to be an orderly way of doing things. And we've completely lost any sense of order at the border. And I think Americans are fed up, and it's not Republicans, it's not Democrats, it's Americans. We are fed up with what's happening at the border. So what I think is the byproduct of this, and I think it's a bad thing, is that Americans have begun to sour on immigration, on legal immigration. So I understand that what's been done, all in the interest of being kind. I've mentioned the word style book before, and I don't even know if it's called that anymore, but media organizations use something called a style book so that everybody in their organization is using the same terminology and its consistency in their reporting. There's nothing nefarious about it. It's just the way they do things. When we talk about this topic, this is the way we address it. When we talk about this topic, this is the verbiage we use. But if you look, we called people illegals, illegal immigrants, illegal migrants, undocumented migrants. We've gone through this whole process, and now we have gone from calling everyone a migrant to calling people newcomers. That seems to be the terminology now, and people will bristle when you use, if I say illegal immigrant, people bristle just at that statement. But identifying someone as an illegal immigrant is important. And the reason why is because if everybody is called a migrant, what does it do to the people that did it the right way? I've told the story. I'm not going to tell it again. My friend who's trying to get a fiance's visa to get his fiance here. They have a four-year-old child. He's gone through the steps to have his child recognized as an American citizen, but she lives in Mexico with her mother. And he is going through all of the legal channels and through all of the paperwork and all of the red tape and the huge expense to try to do this the right way. In the meantime, he watches his tax dollars be used to house people and feed people and clothe people that have come here nefariously, that have come here, whether they're here for noble reasons or not, they've come here the wrong way. So he's spending money out of his pocket to do it the right way, and he's spending money out of his pocket to watch other people do it the wrong way. He's got a child that's going to be school age very soon, and she's not going to be educated in American school unless he can expedite this process and get his fiance here faster. Now, people said, well, he could bring her here. Yeah, he could. It's a four-year-old girl that's lived her entire life with her mother. You're going to tear it from your mother's arms? It's not possible. You know that's not going to happen. And yet we have people crossing the border with their children. They're coming here illegally, and within, you know, a short amount of time, they're given temporary status. Their children are being educated in American schools. How about, what does that say to the people that are doing it the right way? That's the problem. When you say everybody's a migrant, you're not just trying to save the feelings of someone that's here illegally. You are denigrating the hard work of someone that is a legal immigrant to this nation. And we better wrap our arms around it. We better do it sooner rather than later, because we are souring this nation on immigration. And if we ever sour as a nation on immigration, we're going to be a far different country than we are, and it'll be bad for us. In a moment, Gatos joins me. It's our Big Q poll question of the day, so stick around for it.
The Gatos Big Q poll question, brought to you by your Valley Toyota dealers.
Good morning, Gatos.
Ah, good morning. How about a program alert for 4 o'clock today? What do you think? Can I plug something?
Absolutely.
We'll kick off the show. We'll talk about the news of the day with Bill Maher. He's coming into town, and he'll join us at 4. I always like him, man. He's what our show is about. Outspoken, right? I think the guy is I think, very good.
Yeah, and very smart. I mean, what's great about him is there are times I absolutely disagree with him.
Oh, yeah.
There are other times I absolutely agree with him, but he's always entertaining.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I like about him.
I think that's terrific.
Yeah. He's funny.
Yeah.
He's up on the news. He's entertaining, no doubt.
I gotta ask, because I missed it yesterday. You're going to clue me in on who it was you ran into at the weirdest place in D.C.
All right. So we were taking a tour of Georgetown.
Okay.
Do you know that there's a staircase in Georgetown that is very eerie and historic? And it's kind of, a lot of people, they go in, it's like a tourist spot.
Okay.
Have you heard about that?
I have not.
It's where The Exorcist was filmed.
Oh, okay. That staircase. Okay. Amazing.
Yeah. It's the staircase. It's so steep, dude.
Yeah.
It is, and it's haunting, right? So we're taking a tour. We're over there. And so my wife and I, when we see somebody walking up the stairs and we're like, very familiar. Someone was following him and they walked back down the stairs. It looked like they were exercising. You can't run those stairs. You can't run those stairs.
All right.
So he comes back up. We're like, yeah, I think that's somebody famous. And so, you know, we're getting, you know, the explanation of what the staircase meant in the movie, and it's where, you know, the priest takes the devil out of the little girl, and the devil goes in himself. The priest, he throws himself out of the building and then onto those stairs.
Yes.
And so this guy walks up again, and it is Kamala Harris, her husband.
Really?
It's the second gentleman.
Nice. Okay.
Douglas Emhoff, who, by the way, if he fell on top of me, I wouldn't have known who he was.
Okay.
My wife saw him.
All right.
And so he noticed him. And so he was with a Secret Service guy. But it's interesting. That's how he gets his exercise. He walks up and down the exorcist stairs.
There's a joke there I'm not going to tell. But
A joke there. There's no doubt. So, thought that was interesting. You never know who you bump into.
That's
right.
What do you got for a question? That is a very fascinating story.
All right. Columbia University.
Boo. Yeah.
Columbia University began suspending students who defied orders to vacate their pro-Palestinian protest. Do you agree with the school suspending these kids? A, yes. B, no, let them protest. C, forget suspension, kick them out of school. Are you there to learn, or are you there to intimidate Jewish kids? Because that's what's happening.
Yeah.
So I think they took over a building last night.
They did. They barricaded themselves in a building.
Yeah. It's a bunch of thugs, and I would kick them out.
I agree. But it's a great question, as always. And I love the story. I was compelled. I wanted to know who you met. So I'm looking forward to tomorrow's. Now, you need to top today, tomorrow. Good luck with that.
I can't do it, but I'll fail miserably and try.
Thanks, Gatos.
See ya.
All right. The Big Q poll question today is brought to you by your Valley Toyota dealers. We're going to talk about Arizona's top 10 high schools in a moment.